March is Women's History Month, and here at Valley Public Radio, we wanted to spend a part of it talking to women who are leaders here in the Central Valley. So with us in our studio today, we have Yasmin Mendoza, organizer of the Fresno chapter of March for Our Lives and a youth organizer with the Dolores Huerta Foundation, Alexandria Ramos O'Casey, who most recently was a consultant on the campaign for Kingsburg City Council member Jewel Hurtado, and Kamal Carr, who is the Fresno County community organizer for the Jacara movement. Thanks to you all for being here in the first place.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Okay, so Yasmin, let's start with you. You were not involved in politics or organizing before the shooting at a high school in Parkland, Florida. That was just over a year ago now. After those student survivors started March for Our Lives, you decided Fresno needs its own gun violence movement. But what motivated you to say, I'm going to be the one to do it?
At first, I was really unsure if I wanted to join in and be loud about this issue because it's extremely controversial and it could really anger a lot of people. But from personal experience, for the first 12 years of my life, I grew up in a place where there's a lot of gun violence, and I felt that a lot of communities of color have always been overlooked. And so I definitely wanted to bring that voice to the table and really, you know, bring up the issue of gun violence in Fresno, especially, like I said, in communities of color.
And now that you're doing youth organizing with the Dolores Huerta Foundation, did you find something in organizing with March for Our Lives that made you say, I want to keep going?
Yes. I love talking to people and connecting with people and hearing their stories. I really believe that in order to get closer to the solutions, we need to get closer to the pain. And so a lot of people, there's a lot of pain. And I think that we really do need to listen to what people have, you know, the Hispanic community and Black community have to say about these issues, because I do feel like the solutions are there.
And Alex, you're on the other end of the spectrum. You have been involved in numerous campaigns and organizations now. So when you go out and talk to people about an issue or a candidate, how do you get them to become invested in what you're saying?
Yeah, for me, it's really just about keeping it real and keeping it honest. For them, I always try to keep it and bring it back to my roots as much as I possibly can. Like, all of my tias, all of my aunties on my mom's side of the family, they were all educators for the most part. So for me, it really just comes back to, what is the truth we're trying to find? How are we educating one another through story, through our personal experiences? And for me, that's really, I think, what allows me to be successful in my line of work, because I am honest and I bring it back to, you know, our roots and really the same, you know, those same connections and the similarities that we have as people in the Valley.
And then Kamal, turning to you, so your work is primarily in the SICK community, organizing youth volunteers, helping them get involved, civic engagement, things like that. And I'm wondering, do you find that the attention of political players and mass media just does turn to the SICK community very often, or do they get skipped over? And, you know, how do you try to elevate those voices if you can?
Talking about mass media, I think in the past few years, we've seen that the way SICK community has been portrayed is in a victim form, and we want to change that narrative, right? We're not only people who are attacked because of the way we identify or look, but we want to talk about, you know, all the good work and the players in the community that we are. And I think sometimes media misses that. So, you know, we're hoping to change that as well. And in the world of politics, I believe here locally, at least in Fresno, they are definitely looking at the SICK Punjabi community that's here. You know, Punjabi is the fourth most spoken language here in Fresno County. And they know that we are a big, big part of this community. And that's my role as well, to elevate these voices, is to hopefully get all these youth to be civically involved and engaged. We work a lot with the youth, hoping that they can motivate their parents to be civically engaged, you know, to go out and do voter reg forms, to make sure their parents are voting, and to make sure, you know, if they need translation services, those kind of things are available. And those are kind of the work that we try to do to elevate their voices.
And then you were all women of color in your 20s. And so I'm curious, do people ever, you know, use your youth or your gender or ethnic identity maybe as a reason to doubt you, or, you know, ask, what do you know? You look like a young person. And how do you steer around that? Kamal, you're nodding. I don't know. Do you have an answer?
Well, I could speak to that, because so the work we do at the Jacara Movement is very new for the community that I work with. There was no such thing as community organizing in our realm and the population I work with. So, usually it used to be these uncles or older men who usually took charge, talked to the politicians, got people to be engaged. So when they do see the youth being involved, or young women like me especially, being involved, they look at me like, oh, you're just a little girl. Like, oh, you're, yeah, okay. They'll, like, you know, nod along. But it's sometimes the voices aren't taken as seriously as I'm hoping. But, you know, I'm making my way through, getting through to them, building those relationships, and slowly changing their minds.
Alex or Yasmin, what about you? Have you experienced that?
Absolutely. Every day. Every day. But especially when it comes to politics and community organizing, it's kind of its own brand, because it's like everyone either is representing that they do have that same goal, that they want us to be equal to them, or we want to achieve equity. But, you know, some people are still struggling to get there. And it kind of makes it that much harder sometimes to accept as someone who's trying to promote change as a young woman of color, because you're just like, well, you know, we're voicing that we want the same and we have the same goals. But somehow when we're having community meetings, like, there's still a lot of disrespect happening. That's very obvious, you know. Just things like that that happen all the time. And I think it's a matter of making sure that we're comfortable saying this isn't okay, and this is why it isn't okay, and this is how we need to change that.
I'm in the same boat. I think that it's very common. Sometimes I think women have a really good intuition, you know, about things. And sometimes you might not hear it, but you could definitely sense it. You can definitely sense that, you know, it feels a little off, where perhaps, you know, they're nodding their heads, but you can really feel that, you know, they're not really taking you seriously. And even, you know, here in the Central Valley, most of the, you know, city council and on the board of supervisors, it's really all men. We have one woman, and that's Esmeralda Soria.
On the city council,
On the city council, right. And it's pretty obvious here that in the Central Valley, it doesn't feel like women in leadership positions is necessarily totally welcomed just yet.
I'm curious, is that something then that, it sounds like that's a concern for you, Yasmin, is that something that in your kind of different realms you guys are hoping to, I don't know, move towards, maybe working, maybe Alex, for you, working on a campaign for a woman, or I don't know if you guys do a lot of, you mentioned civic engagement, but just like campaign work specifically, Kamal?
So I actually sit on the Commission for Status of Women for the county. And just even seeing how that commission is treated compared to other commissions that we do have here locally, it's really surprising, because this commission, the Status of Women Commission, used to be funded once upon a time by the city, and then the funding got cut. And now it's given to the county, but even the lack of resources that we receive are so limited. So I definitely agree with you there that I believe, yeah, women aren't taken as seriously in those large official roles.
Yeah, and I think that's something that really just became such a constant concern so consistently, to the point that I think for me this last election cycle, I was just like, okay, well, do I want to work on another big campaign, or do we want to build something that's something really true to us and something that really represents, you know, young people and young people of color in these particular areas? And so for me it was like, well, you know, if they keep telling us, right, like, don't reinvent the wheel, but I'm like, we keep getting run over by the wheel. So I think maybe we do have to, you know, make a different wheel. And that's kind of how I saw my role in helping Jewel get elected this time around, was, you know, they weren't going to give it to us, so we decided to take the seat.
I want to ask you all, who is a woman who inspires you? Yasmin, do you want to start?
Mine's Dolores Huerta. I mean, I work for her foundation, so maybe I'm a little biased, but maybe, but yeah, she really has inspired me from a young age. She was the negotiator in a lot of the deals going on with the farm workers, you know, the union and the strikes. She was the negotiator, and I feel like negotiators are usually the backbone of the movement, and I feel like she definitely was overlooked a lot, even to this day. A lot of people don't know who she is. And for me, she really has been a very huge motivator and just inspiration on the type of person that, you know, I want to be, or the way that I want to serve my community. She's very, just so selfless. She really is so selfless and just full of power, and I feel it. You know, every time I'm with her, I just feel it. you know, she's 88 years old and still going, and I hope I'm doing that when I'm 88. So
awesome. Alex, what about you?
My mother. Yeah, my mother for sure. And I had kind of thought about, you know, some other famous women. But I think for me, it really just comes back to my mom, because I think I realized, too, that all the women that are famous that she taught me about, you know, I wouldn't have known about them without her. Right. So my mom, you know, she's been an educator here in the Valley pretty much her entire life when she finished her degrees. And she really just gives back to the community in as many ways as she can, and really. You know, I think for me, it's just always been a perfect example of, you know, being a hard worker and really putting social interest in your community first. So for me, it's my mom. Yeah.
And Kamal, what about you?
These are all such great women. I mean, these, you know, my mother, of course, is a huge inspiration to me as well. And Dolores Huerta, I saw her documentary and I was like, oh my God, she's amazing, right? But I have to say, the new freshman congresswomen that came in have been an inspiration to me, especially AOC, right? A woman from Bronx, and the way she speaks up, she's our age, she's relatable, and I'm just in such awe of her and a fangirl, right? So I hope to meet her one day, but yeah, she's definitely someone who inspires me currently.
The last thing I want to ask is, people have called 2018 Year of the Woman. There were so many women, as you've just mentioned, who ran for office, who did take office. And while you three aren't running for office, you're very involved in your specific communities. And I want to ask, maybe what are you hearing about what 2020 might become? And not thinking too much about the presidential election, but, you know, is it going to be the year of historically marginalized groups rising up, of actual gender parity? What do you think?
I think it's going to be a year where people really are coming into their own and feeling comfortable sharing their stories in a way that is effective, in a way that is strategic, in a way that spreads a fire and sparks energy in other people. And that's what I'm most excited to see, is people just, you know, not only working through the trauma, working through the beauty of just all of the different experiences we've had, but just like owning their stories and doing it in a way that allows us to feel comfortable owning our stories as well.
I think since I, you know, have the great pleasure of working with the youth and seeing them grow and them being so, so, so involved in politics and actually caring, you know, compared to what the usual thought is that the youth don't care, they don't want to vote, which isn't true, right? We see that they want to vote, they want to create change. And I'm really, really excited for the year 2020 when these 16, 17-year-olds are going to be old enough to vote, and they are going to be that new change and the wave. And I'm very, very hopeful for 2020.
I honestly think it's going to be the year of community organizers. I feel that, you know, in the upcoming, in 2020, in the next presidential election, a lot of these people need to have community organizers at the top, listening to them, because they really are the ones who know the people on the ground the best. They really do understand the issues on the ground. And I really do feel that this next year, and even this year, it is really the year of the community organizers.
Okay, that's all the time we have to discuss, but we've been speaking to Yasmin Mendoza, Alexandria Ramos-O'Casey, and Kamal Carr. They are leaders and community organizers here in the San Joaquin Valley. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.